This is the Hoosier Ag Today, Thursday podcast on the 24th of April, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with the news today, including the WOTUS changes that American Farm Bureau would like EPA to consider, and deer populations have gone beyond what some Indiana woodlands can handle. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has a very nice warm Thursday on tap before hit-and-miss Friday moisture, and grain and oilseed markets again yesterday were mixed. Only soybeans working higher once again. Tom Fritz has market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today, Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
Farm Bureau once again asking EPA for changes to WOTUS and the impact of whitetail deer on Indiana's woodlands. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. It's an issue that Farm Bureau has been fighting for quite some time now. They're once again asking EPA for changes to the Waters of the U.S. rule, or WOTUS for short. Eric Pfeiffer has more.
Farmers really need to focus on farming, not seeking permits just to accomplish the core tasks that make their work possible.
David Schilling is public policy counsel for Farm Bureau. He says the group wants the rule brought in line with the Sackett versus EPA Supreme Court ruling.
The problem is that under the current definition, everyday activities on the farm, whether it's plowing, planting, fence building, and so on, could trigger enforcement by the federal government under the Clean Water Act.
Schilling adds that the current rule does not follow the precedent set forth in Sackett, which is clear about the boundaries of regulating the nation's waterways.
By not following what seemed to us to be very clear legal guardrails in that case and other precedent, the current EPA rule imposes regulations that are inconsistent with the law and burdensome to our farming communities. Specifically, we're seeking a clear definition that allows for identification of which waters are relatively permanent and connected to traditional interstate navigable waterways and thus appropriate for federal jurisdiction.
Schilling says the EPA will be conducting listening sessions with various stakeholders, including farmers and ranchers, to see what changes need to be made.
Next, we anticipate EPA will issue a proposed rule that takes into account what the agency learned in those listening sessions. And then American Farm Bureau Federation and other interested parties will provide comments on that proposed rule to guide EPA in making any needed changes. And then finally, EPA will presumably issue a final rule.
You can learn more at fb.org/WOTUS. There's a link on our website as well. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
When you call Keystone, you're not just making a connection. You're dialing into service, solutions, and success. We're not just here to meet today's needs. We're building for tomorrow, advancing technology, growing opportunities, and driving innovation with the best team in the Midwest. Keystone is more than a business. It's a commitment to our farmer owners, our rural communities, and the future we're all cultivating together. Call the co-op that leads, serves, grows, and embraces the cooperative advantage.
Well, deer are very important to Indiana woodlands. But in many areas of the state, deer populations have grown far beyond what the land can support.
Through their browsing and what they eat, they can actually reduce plant diversity and limit the growth of some of our tree seedlings, such as oak, which are both economically and ecologically important.
And that's Jared Brook, a Purdue Extension wildlife specialist.
They can actually cause issues with increases in invasive species that they don't eat, like Japanese stilt grass or garlic mustard. Same thing with crop damage. Deer really love to eat soybeans and eat corn, and they can cause issues with some of our crops.
For woodland owners across Indiana who may not be sure if deer are even a problem on their property, how can they better understand and measure deer impacts?
So I think the first step is being aware and being kind of tuned in to the problems that deer can cause. Fortunately, with the help of the Nature Conservancy here in Indiana, we at Purdue Extension actually created a series of publications and videos called the Deer Impact Toolbox, which are designed to help landowners really understand, monitor, and then address the impacts that deer have in their woodlands. And these resources are a great starting point for any landowner that's interested in learning more about deer impacts.
He adds the best way to manage those impacts from deer are hunting, habitat management, and plant protection.
So through the reduction of the number of deer by harvesting does on your property, that can be an effective way to reduce their impact. Also, if you can improve the habitat for deer on your property, either through forest stand improvement or through timber harvest, you can actually create more food on the landscape, which reduces overall deer impact. And then the last really big way is through protecting the plants that you're trying to keep deer from browsing. And that can be fencing, tree plantations, putting tree tubes or tree shelters on young trees, or, you know, fencing sensitive areas from deer browsing.
You can find a link to the Deer Impact Toolbox and read much more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Your Thursday looking pretty nice here overall. Decent sunshine. Temperatures are warm. I look for some very nice southwest winds here through this afternoon. Just a great day to be outside. If you've been able to dodge precipitation the past day or two, you're going to be able to work into the field probably again here today. Good evaporation in over the entire state. Now, overnight tonight, clouds build, and I think we're going to be dealing with some hit-and-miss moisture for Friday. Right now, I see just scattered light stuff right away in the morning to late morning, midday through the afternoon and evening. We get good coverage across the state. I'm going to pencil in quarter to three-quarter inch rainfall totals out of this. Coverage at 100%. Everything winds down at near or after midnight. By sunrise on Saturday morning, we're going to be looking at a very nice setup, and we're looking at high pressure dominating for both Saturday and Sunday. Sunshine, blue sky, warm temperatures. Into Monday of next week, we see a little bit of disturbance popping up here or there. For example, Monday afternoon into Monday evening, southern Indiana, but nothing well organized until Tuesday evening and overnight. So Monday and Tuesday, I think, mostly dry again. Just watch for the odd renegade stuff here and there. That frontal boundary Tuesday night, Wednesday, quarter to three quarters of an inch of precipitation. Coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State again. Behind that, we get a dry day in here for the first. Probably going to deal with a few hit and miss scattered showers for the second into early the third, but that's going to only be a quarter inch or less. And then the weekend of the third and fourth, I believe, is going to be fully dry, and we should be on our way to a dry start to the week of the fifth as well. Exciting here is we might be able to put in a nice window for planting opportunity. We may not see our next front show up until closer to the 7th or 8th of May. So that's good news and a little bit of an attempt at pattern change in the longer-term forecast. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Corn and wheat back down, beans go higher again. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Preventative maintenance isn't just for equipment. As you prepare for planting this spring, make sure you take some time to check your mental health and stress level. More is at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. A carbon copy in a way of Tuesday trade on Wednesday as corn and wheat trade a little lower and the soybean market goes a little higher. Probably some different dynamics, though, Tom, as we look at Wednesday trade, starting with maybe a softening of a stance on China and trade from the White House, which was at least one of the factors maybe boosting beans.
Well, the talk is that, they're going to have the possibility of de-escalating the tariff wars. But, when you look at some of the numbers that are being bandied about, now I think, what do they have right now? 124% tariff against China. Well, they're talking about lowering it to 50 to 60% tariff. What good is that going to do? So then that's just my opinion. And I think that's why the soybean market stays in this little trading range it's been in for the last 6-7 days. It just can't go anywhere. And then additionally, here's an article that for the month of April, Brazil is going to export 14.5 million tons of soybeans. With that kind of export business, there's no room for the U.S. to do any business. So, we're getting the crumbs. And, our bottom line is I think our top side in the soybean market is rather limited. But it may try to stand in. Bean oil tries to help out. Bean oil's at its upper end. But then again, you look at bean oil knocking at the door, 49 cents a pound. Historically, at least for the July contract, that's been resistance dating back to April of last year. So, and I also think the soybean oil traders are waiting for some favorable news from the EPA. So, I don't know. Should I hold my breath on that? And soybean meal, it's no help. It just spins its wheels. And I think that's going to be the MO, if you will, for soybean meal in the foreseeable future. So bottom line, I don't think the soybean market's going anywhere yet. It hangs tough. That's all I can say. And, watch soybean oil. Corn sags under its own weight. We saw some technical selling from yesterday's chart action. And then, the second season corn crop in Brazil is developing in fine form. I'm not hearing any issues with the Argentine corn. So, the handwriting's on the wall that what corn business we have right now in the next, 4 to 6 weeks, it's going to be gone. So, I think the handwriting on the wall is there for corn. And the planting window, for a while there, for a brief few days, we thought, okay, maybe we'll get into some extended delays. And look that way right now, looking at the most current forecasts. Yeah, there's going to be rain around. And so, some guys are going to be, have to sit on the sideline for a while. But, I'm not looking at any extended delays. And they had a good jump on things to begin with. So, the bottom line is, where's the corn market going? Well, it's not going anywhere either. I think push comes to shove, the downside is in corn right now. Is it going to totally collapse? No, not at all. At least not the old crop. Stocks to uses scenario for old crop is just tight enough that, we're not going to rally anymore. We came close to looking at the $5 level. We traded, $4.90 and change. So where are we going to go from here? Well, okay, 470, 465, 460, something like that. So it's not a collapsing market. It's just our upside is going to be rather limited. I don't know what to tell you about that. Somebody wrote an article that Ukraine and Russia may hold off, may hold their winter wheat crop off the market. Nah, don't hold your breath on that one. Ukraine, they need the money. Russia, they're a bunch of greedy people as well. They rely on wheat exports as well as their crude oil exports for their income. So the U.S. wheat, whether it be the soft red wheat or the hard red wheat, You know, they're looking at beneficial weather. Weather has been pretty decent for overseas. The European Union upgraded its wheat crop yesterday. So, and plus, global business right now is kind of slow. You know, and when I say global business is slow, well, here, domestic business is rather slow. So where are you going to go? So, you know, in the, you know, a long time ago, they told me one of the functions of lower prices is to try to stimulate demand. Well, so far, we haven't seen it yet. Kansas City wheat, made new contract lows today, and we finished on the old contract low. You look at Chicago wheat, you know, it's technical sell-signal territory. So, you know, it's kind of like you add it all together, where's the saving grace? And then people say, well, you know, maybe we'll stop all this tariff nonsense. There's a lot of competition out there for, U.S. products. So I just think, you know, these are, I think markets will do well for themselves just to kind of spin around and go no place fast.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hat Wednesday Farm Market Review, May corn goes 3.75 lower, 4.72. July finished at 4.79 1/4, a 4 cent drop. D's down 3.5, 4.54 1/2. May beans up 0.25, 10.40 1/4. July up 4.25, 10.50 1/4. And Novi a penny higher, 10.27 1/2. May wheat 5.28 1/4, down 7 1/4. July 6.75 lower at 5.43 1/2. Meats mixed, a very quiet hog market, but June live cattle 208.10, $1.82 gain, and June lean hogs down 12 cents, $100.15. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.